May I add another one, Emil, just to make it... we have heard Samson was one who looked into this pleasurable in a woman. If you take somebody like Solomon, and you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, you would realize that, in one sense, Solomon exceeded the Samson. Samson was the most, the strongest man on earth. Solomon was one that he said, in his own words, that he experienced everything and anything that is pleasurable and attractive to his eyes. So we have said that sin is not something that is always moral. It's different. It has a variety of different things. But Solomon tried everything. So what do you want? Riches? Solomon had it. You want vineyards? You want laughter? Because he speaks about laughter. You want madness? You want woman? 1,000. What do you want? What do you want? Solomon did it. But you know what was the conclusion? Just coming to the thought of it is for a limited time only. You know, with these sales, limited time only. Solomon understood that principle and he came to the conclusion of it. That it was only for a limited time. And he made his assessment of things. And he said this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. This is the conclusion he came to, you know. And he experienced a lot of things. So I wonder if we are experiencing the same judgment that Solomon came to. That listen, there's nothing new under the sun. We have heard the world didn't change of John from our days. Nothing new under the sun. But the only challenge for the believer is, am I going to live on the principle that I am going to sin not? Or am I going to do just go my own way? You cannot tell me what to do, you know. My parents cannot tell me. The brethren cannot tell me. And above all, the Lord definitely. You know, I might show this, I am godly and stuff like this in the meeting. But if you are not obeying your parents, and if you're not going along with the brethren, you're definitely not going to do what the Lord is telling you. So that's where lawlessness is all about.
So let me summarize what we have said so far. So just in case you kind of drifted off a little bit, hopefully you did not. First, we said, what is sin? We have talked about sin. We have three references that we were given. I hope you wrote them down so you can go back to them. But what really sin is. What really sin is. We also have heard what's God's requirement from a believer. That ye sin not. It's not try to do your best. That ye sin not. That's God's standard. Also, discussed how sin came in. The originator of it all, Satan himself, self-will, I want, I will, 5 times he said in that verse, is that not Samuel, right? In Isaiah chapter 14, man, it's contagious, man did the same thing. Verses that Kevin read to us in Genesis chapter 3. How sin came in. We have said earlier on, the principle of marketing did not change. Something to look, looks good. Something to taste or to feel, feels good. You're going to get benefit out of it. It's going to make you wise. Or it's going to make you look good. Or it's going to make something. You're going to get benefit out of it. And we said it's all covered with fig leaves. It's all false. It is not true. We said also the result of sin. We just mentioned that. We talked about there is pleasure, but for limited time only. And you know what? The sting of it after. The sting of it after. It's horrible. It is horrible. Who in his right mind, knowing all of it, if you don't know it's one thing, but knowing all of that, came near to it. If I come here and I give you a bottle and they tell you there is cyanide in there, you put nothing in there. But you know what? I know you like a lot of sugar, and I put some Mountain Dew on it, so there's sugar and caffeine. Really good stuff. Would you take it? Would you take it? That's exactly what sin is. He put some sugar on it and he put some wrapping paper around it and said, look, it looks good. It's going to make you powerful. It's going to give you some, that jolt of whatever caffeine or whatever, and you're going to be just happen. But then, it's more cyanide also. You just grab it. You know what happened to Samson? You know what happened to Solomon? You know what happened to... There are many history of men. You even know some of your friends. Got in bed with things. I write unto you, children, that he sinned not. Now, I also said that sin was very expensive. Sin was not cheap. You think it's okay? He will forgive me. I reset the second part of the verse. We confess, he'll forgive. It's okay. We're human. No perfection here. Sure, no perfection here. Nobody said it. They would be. How expensive sin is. Costed God. There is nothing in the world. Nothing. I don't care what it is. That is more expensive than sin. There is nothing more expensive than sin. Because all Eve did was a disobedience. She didn't kill anybody, neither did Adam. They didn't go and get drugs or get drunk or they didn't do any of that. You know what they did? They disobeyed. Just simply this. This is how sin came in. It wasn't somebody went and did something horrible or hit the World Trade Center. That's horrible. You know what they did? They just disobeyed God. That's sin. Simply disobedience. How expensive was? There is no money in the whole world that could pay for it. That's how expensive sin is. It costed God his son. It costed the Son of God's life.
Dave raised a question I'd like us to perhaps explore a little bit. In a world in which we live, where every man does what's right in his own eyes, and every man establishes his own standard, it's socially acceptable in this culture that this is okay. It's okay every society, you'll hear this in your philosophy and sociology classes, every society defines what's right and what's moral for them. I would like us to address this, because we're all sitting here, we're saying, well, that doesn't apply to me, because I have my own standard. Where do we get the standard? Where do we get the measure of what sin is and what it means to God?